It's The Takeaway. Happy to be with you today. I'm Amy Walter. And among the questions swirling around Capitol Hill this week, what can Congress do, if anything, to address Russian hacking, protecting the Mueller probe, and providing a check on the president? And is there the will? David Drucker is a senior political correspondent for The Washington Examiner and a CNN political analyst. David, thanks for joining us.
Really good to be here. Thank you.
So, Dave, I feel like we've been here before, maybe once or twice or 250 times. The president does or says something that Republicans in Congress are upset about. They say, we don't like this. They issue press releases. And then nothing really happens. Are we kind of at that same place now?
Well, in one sense, yes. And in one sense, not exactly. I think what a lot of Americans that oppose President Trump and are worried about what he's doing domestically and internationally don't understand when they ask Republicans in Congress who are critical of him to do something.
That right, you got to do something.
You know, coming out of the Helsinki News Conference, I mean, the biggest thing I saw on Twitter, which I actually think is a useful tool, was progressives and just concerned Democrats saying, yeah, that's a nice statement of opposition, now do something. But one of the reasons Republicans with the levers of power in Congress and even others have been reluctant to do something is because most of their own voters don't want them to. Most of their own voters are pleased with President Trump, and even if they're not at times, they decide that it's a part of the package and a part of the bargain, and they don't want to throw him overboard to empower the left. And so you have these Republicans that came from the Reagan school of Republicanism. They're caught between their voters who have decided they like Trump and a president that they are very concerned about because of their own philosophical underpinnings. And so I think that leaves us with, you know, where are they? They're not going to do all that much, but they actually at times, especially on matters of foreign policy, have done, I think, more than people realize. A year ago in July 2017, there was a veto-proof majority for a bill that would not have happened, obviously, without Republicans, to constrain the kind of deal that President Trump can cut with Russia and Vladimir Putin without congressional approval. That was a rather historic rebuke of a president's foreign policy powers, which I wrote about at the time. And just in the past, you know, several days, Republicans joined with Democrats, and when I say Republicans, I mean Senator Tom Cotton of Arkansas, who is an ally of President Trump, joined with that evil liberal scourge, Chuck Schumer, the Democratic leader in the Senate, to stop the president from cutting a deal with the Chinese on the telecom firm ZTE, which continues to commit espionage and steal American secrets. And the president was willing to cut the Chinese a deal about ZTE, which is a big priority for Beijing. And Republicans said it's not going to happen. So they don't do nothing, particularly on matters of foreign policy. What they're just not going to do is get together en masse and not just rebuke the president verbally, but then start to pass all sorts of legislation with Democrats that basically neuters him.
Right. I mean, we've seen the most vocal voices from the Republican side are either people that are retiring or... In another case, we have Representative Will Hurd from Texas. He wrote an op-ed today in the New York Times basically saying that Putin has Trump under his spell, like that he is compromised in some way. So are you saying that that's it? Like, we're not going to hear anybody else come and make those kinds of pronouncements in the on the Republican side.
You know, it's interesting because, you know, I spent a couple days in Richmond and I was interviewing the Democratic nominee against Representative Dave Brat in the Richmond suburbs, Sarah Canner's old seat. She's a former clandestine officer in the CIA. And I said, do you agree with Democrats who say that the president has committed treason or that the Russians have compromat on him, have compromising information? And she told me she didn't find that discussion helpful because it obscures from focusing on what Russia did and the fact that it has to be stopped. She went on at length about how repulsed she was and how dismayed she was at what she saw from the president. But there are differing opinions about why the president is doing what he's doing and how useful it is to focus on that. I will say, though, that you bring up, look, you get us back to that point of who is the strongest verbal critic of the president willing to go the farthest on policy. If you're a Republican in a battleground district, Will Hurd's Texas district has always been a tough sell for a Republican, but he's managed to pull it off. If you're Eric Paulson in the Minneapolis suburbs, where he just produced an ad and put it on television saying that he will stand up to President Trump and said it by name, I mean, that's where you're going to see these voices. Mitch McConnell does, you know, is vilified by Democrats, and I understand why. He's the Republican leader for letting Trump run roughshod. But he did not stop the ZTE amendment in the Senate. And he made a point this week of saying that he disagreed with the president's comments, both as in regard to NATO and in regard to Russia. And that doesn't mean he deserves a medal, but I just think we need to look at this through a bit of a nuanced lens, because I don't think, look, this may bother Americans, but I don't think it's fair, in a sense, to expect a majority party to just give up its majority, because otherwise, that's why they think they're there. They think that the fact that they're in the majority is good for the country, even if it's not perfect for the country.
But are they doing this, are they, just very, very, very quickly, do they talk differently, Republicans, privately and publicly?
Of course. Okay. Oh, without a doubt. They have serious issues with the president's foreign policy, trade policy, the way he conducts himself, the way he speaks on Twitter. Are they more inured to it? Are they more a little bit numb to it? Are they over the shock and awe of it? Sure. They're just kind of used to it, and they don't want it to disrupt their lives every day. But does it bother them? Do they wish that he'd take the best of him and dispense with the worst of him? 100%, and they'd probably pay money if that's what it took to get it done.
It's just they won't say it publicly yet.
Never.
There we go. All right. David Drucker is a senior political correspondent for The Washington Examiner and a CNN political analyst. David, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.